The Mistress Manuscript, a poetry chapbook by Esther Weiner, recorded by the author, me. Some of the poems were first published in the New Republic, Poetry and Performance, Rattapallax, and in the anthology The Poets Grimm, as well as forthcoming in Transfiguration Begins at Home, Tiger Bark Press. The chapbook is copyright 2009 by Bookworks, Asheville, North Carolina. By way of introducing this little book, I'd like to remind you of two pieces of literature, the wonderful Pride and Prejudice with the even more wonderful character of Elizabeth Bennet, whose relationship with her father is that of an intellectual mistress, and the equally lovely Gigi, from this dialogue at the front of my chapbook. Gigi: "And we're not ordinary people?" Elisha: "No, indeed, we are not." Gigi: "But what makes us different from these ordinary people, Auntie?" Elisha: "In the main, Gilbert, it's because they marry." The first poem in the chapbook is called Epic Interruptus. It mentions that witch you may have heard of, Circe, with the rather interesting power of being able to turn men into swine. Epic Interruptus. "I am not Circe, but a mortal. No power to transform men into man, let alone pigs." The witch herself didn't put up much of a fight against the demands of Odysseus. She even helped him get home to the wife she was smart enough never to mention. Love now. It would be a leap of what you and I might or might not call faith, being careful to note faith's brazen dangers for the amused and sorrowful who have never managed to abandon hope. Some of you may remember the sign over Dante's Inferno, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." Next poem is called Battle Skills. "Thrust and parry's fine. I like it, fencing. I do it well. The point jabs, small as pinpricks first, and then the cut. I wait too long to plunge. Then there's too much blood to aim straight." Another A train. "The train that's taking me away from you leaves from the same station where you leave me to make the late one, calling where you're going, home. A reputation saved should have been a reputation discarded. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Sometimes a train going through a tunnel is just a train going through a tunnel, even when it defies physics and goes in two directions at once." If you're playing with fire. "If you're playing with fire, can you take the bus to a psychic in New Jersey, recommended by a friend who makes movies in Los Angeles, who once took you to a palmist who prophesied pregnancy, but missed the fact that your lover was leaving? If you're playing with fire, can you take the bus to a psychic in New Jersey when you know that Dante put fortune tellers in hell, when you know she might tell you what you already know?" And the next two are two of my odd little sonnets. First is called Trial by Water. "I know the tides, the deceptive calm of the tide pools, the ripples created by the thrown pebble. It is growing up by water that helps me keep you, watching the waves crash on sunlit and on stormy days, the ocean that orphans children, going under myself, surprised by the size of a wave, but surfacing even as you take away my breath. The bar that never closes. In the glass with the soda and Campari, I drink you across the table. Your words enter my mouth, cover my tongue, slip down my throat, smoother even than your reputation. The time between now and the last time melts like an ice cube removed from its glass. The talk has always been the sex. The sex has always been the talk. By grace of this, we're here again. New Year's Eve. I choose to kiss no one as the clock turns to the next chance for all of us who used to raise a glass more easily to everything, including life, and now know just enough to toast to the possibility of good champagne we can afford, and leave the dreams to the silence and the shriek of our own respective fragile sleeps. With a hey, nonny, nonny. I am married now, he told her. It's my favorite boundary. I am the knight in tarnished armor I always longed to be. Yes, my knighthood's back in flower and full-blown with progeny. With this armor of protection, you will ne'er claim victory. Scatology series. Scatology series, Marek calls the erotic sculptures he invites me to see at the gallery where I run into the man who'd once been my life, who'd introduced me to Marek. Scatology series to which I bring another man whom I met through another man who has twice been my lover and friend to both men I've already mentioned, but not to Marek, whose wife is here and helped with the opening of Scatology series, although they're living apart. And I gaze at the objects Marek has sculpted, sensuous urinals in purest white porcelain mounted on steel. And I learn that the man who had once been my life will be married in autumn, although this didn't happen. And I leave with the man whom I brought to the gallery, who will soon have to leave to dine with the son of the woman who has left him for the third time. Next poem is called Mortal. You'll hear mention of the word Fenian in it, which refers to an Irish and Irish-American political group. Mortal. We meet at wakes and funerals. One thrust us into our second affair, because you never die, my Fenian phoenix, my philandering fetus. I abort you over and over again. You'll hear mention of two playwrights you'll probably recognize in the title of this next poem. A little Beckett, a little O'Neill. The landscape is indeterminate. A woman opens her mouth. Laughter careens from her lungs up into her throat, only to be choked before its sound can escape and change the air. In the breeze of anticipated summer is ice that will become a man. In the next poem, you will hear mention of four famous ladies of literature, and they all have one thing in common. The poem is called Central Casting. Roles are hard to come by. If we get cast, it's a job. Deirdre, Isolde, Eloise, they're familiar. The job is ours. The nuances the rest of them notice, for us, are as easy as falling. Rehearsed from childhood, honed in adulthood, Daddy's mistress can play Guinevere with a blindfold. Debts. To the new owner, front man for the old owner of the building that houses my rented home. From the lover who always knows when to leave before he has to pay the price of the desire that I call love. To the father who died without me, never checked a check in a restaurant, but always left a big tip. You might want to come back, dear, he'd say. Transfiguration begins at home. The Cinderella staircase divided upstairs from downstairs, its curves of elegance branded early on the child who turned it into a story over and over again. The person who started at the top was never the person who reached the bottom. The one who climbed it from the bottom was always different at the top. Cinderella could turn into a princess. A prince could turn into a frog. Before a father could descend it with a daughter on his arm to give her away in marriage, a daughter would ascend it with a father on her arm to give him away to silence. Anything is possible. Next poem is called And One More for the Road, and because you don't have it in front of you, I will tell you that each line gets shorter and shorter and shorter until the last line is one word. And One More for the Road. What time is it this time last year? What is time? You were never on time. Some things come in time. Would you like more time? Time will tell. The time is ripe. We have so little time. We always have a good time. We lost so much time. Did you have a good time? Do we have time? Don't waste time. You have time for everyone else. Make time. There will be time. It will be better in time. It was bad timing. It was good timing. It was the second time around. Blood ties. Candles and crystal I chose the night your son was married in Queens. I was in Manhattan. Living well as the best revenge. I wrapped myself in fumée blanc and remembered the night he turned 25 and remembered the 6 o'clock morning call when, stranded, he needed a place to stay and remembered him sleepily stretched on my sofa wearing the same silk underwear I'd only seen on you. How can I invite my father's secret? He never said. Instead, he disappeared. How could he have known his father's new secret, that you had also disappeared? Dad's such a cad, he used to say, and smile at me, and hope that I was smiling. A telephone call, 1996. When the telephone doesn't ring nowadays, there is no Dorothy Parker to describe the anguish of the wait, the hope, the terror, and the unvanquished illusion. If Dorothy were here, we would have to tell her how unhealthy it is for a woman to be so wrapped up in a man that his every move or lack thereof can devastate or elate her. Then Dorothy would agree, prepare herself numerous cocktails, smoke cigarettes, offer both to us, and we healthy women would have to refuse. Afterwards, it clings to everything. It is winning, this silence, over the steam in the pipes, the gas in the stove, the water in the faucet, the siren in the street, white and cruel. Not even rage can melt it. The last poem in the chapbook is called If You Don't Like the Weather. It comes from an expression we say in New England as well as in England. If you don't like the weather, wait a minute. If you don't like the weather. Safety, umbrellas, hats. In winter and under the summer sun I scorned, along with protective oil, now called screen. Once hardware we put on windows and doors when the seasons changed to discourage bugs and allow in air. Therefore I got tanned or wet, but nights when the fog rolls over even this city of invincibles, I dream of the harbor and the retrieval of kisses.